2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 17, and Luke Thompson's going to read.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
I'm sure many of us today as adults are sitting here, and we remember those days, don't we, when as children, when we were growing up, we heard those words and we sang them so often, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe like these children in front of us today, we heard that, we grew up through many years, and perhaps today we're quite elderly, older than me, I mean by that. And you remember singing those words, you know what they mean. And yet, perhaps today you still don't know the one whom they're written about, the Lord Jesus, who died upon the cross for our sins. I want to thank you all for coming out today to our family service. We welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Jim has already said, and it's been on the screen, we want to thank the parents who have sent along and brought along their children to the Holiday Bible Club each night of the week. We appreciate that very, very much indeed. And we hope that some of you as parents will have got to know some of us, and as a result of that, know what the children have been engaged in. I want to thank the team who are here today and who throughout the week have given so much of their time and their talents to seeking to hold this Holiday Bible Club. That's from everybody who came to sit with the children, who were driving the buses, who did everything, and it was all greatly appreciated. And we thank the whole team, and especially we thank Jim and Robin for the hard work they did behind the scenes from the very beginning, putting all of this into place. Keith Lindsay couldn't be here today. If he was, I wouldn't be here in the pulpit. But Keith had another engagement, so he couldn't come. And I'd like, although he's not here, to say publicly on behalf of the church how much we appreciate the work that Keith did during the last week as well. You know, just as I listened to that CD and saw the different pictures of the different estates and thought about the wordless book, my mind went back many, many years, probably about 40 years now, maybe more. And I remember sitting on a little green shrub place with grass and very little else in my estate where I was brought up in Cookstown. And I remember two men coming out from a local church. They came out to share with us the message of the gospel, and they came and they shared that message from the wordless book. It was the first time I ever heard about sin. Probably one of the first times I ever heard about heaven and about how my sins could be forgiven and as to how I could get to heaven. You know, the thing is that whether we're young or old, the message is still the same. Because the message never, ever changes. I appreciate Luke sharing today in the reading of God's word with us. I didn't realize the first two verses had so many big words in them, but Luke, you did exceptionally well. And I want to turn our thoughts back just for a few moments before we close and go out for some supper. I want to take your thoughts back to those verses that we have heard today. And I want especially to think of the verse 15 where it says this. Paul writes to a young man called Timothy, a young man that he knew growing up in life, and he said this to him. He said, "Timothy, from a child, you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." From a child, you have known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. If we had time today, I would try to look at Timothy's life and look at some of the characteristics that set him out as one of Paul's associates in the sharing of the gospel. But because of time and because of the children today, I'm going to leave that aside, but I'm going to concentrate simply on three things concerning Timothy. I want us to think for a moment about Timothy's childhood. From a child, the Bible says you have known the scriptures. I would call that the greatest privilege that any young person, young boy and girl, or anyone could ever have in life. From a child, the word means from infancy, right from the very cradle, that boys and girls should hear the word of God, that boys and girls should be instructed as to what it is that God demands from them. From a child, you have known the scriptures. When we look behind the scenes at what that really means, we see a young man who was given a tremendous blessing and a great start in life, because we read in the opening chapter, here's what Paul says, "I am filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." What a lovely picture of Timothy's childhood. It all began with a godly grandmother. A godly grandmother who in the home taught young Timothy what he needed to know about the Word of God. And then from a godly grandmother it came to a mother who took time to instruct her son Timothy in all the ways that God wanted him to live. What a childhood this young boy was privileged to have. Of course, we must remember that for Jewish children, it was always the grandmother and the mother who did the teaching. They would teach the boys and girls young in life. And then, of course, when it would come to the boys being older, they were handed over into the hands of the father. And he had the responsibility of teaching the young men what it was that the faith demanded of them. You know, I say this today as a parent. And I know how difficult it is for any parent in today's world. And there are some parents here, and I'm sure like me at times that you have struggled. And struggled so much in the upbringing of your children. Meeting all their demands. Meeting all your demands. But you know something, you and I as parents today, and even as grandparents, we can give children so many things in life. But the best thing that we could ever give them is an upbringing in the things of God. Early in life, while they're sitting on our knee and coming into our homes, growing up as children under our care, that like this young man, Timothy, we tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and we explain to them God's way of salvation. Now, we as a church have been very upfront throughout the week, because you knew when the children came along, they came with parental consent. They came along to sit under the sound of the Word of God. And throughout this week, they have been learning the Word of God. Today they've stood up and they have shared their memory verses with us. They have been singing some of the choruses that they've been singing throughout the week. And we feel that this is vitally important for the children of our day and our generation. People who know better than me have said statistically that there is a generation today that's growing up that does not know God. So you as parents and me as a parent and us as grandparents and of course those today who are involved in the life of a church, we need to take time and we need to make time to teach boys and girls the Word of God. Let me tell you a little story. It's a true story. It's of a man who left home one night and he was left to look after the baby while his wife was at work. Now, that baby had grown up by this stage, a little bit older than a baby. In fact, it was just a young child and he was asleep, fast asleep, when the father went up to see how he was. The father came down the stairs and knowing that the child was asleep, he decided that he would leave the child in the home and he would go out and he would make his way down to the local bar and there he would have a couple of drinks. And as a result of that, he'd make his way home and make sure that the child was all right. He very quietly pulled the door behind him. He walked out into the street. Of course, it was snowing very, very heavily. And he made his way very quickly down to the bar. And there he was sitting up on the top of a bar stool. And he was just about to take his first drink when there was a sudden tug at his trousers. And he looked down and greatly to his surprise, there was his young son. And the young son was standing beside him at the bar stool and he was pulling on the leg of his father's trousers. The father turned around and he simply said to him, "Son, what are you doing here? How on earth did you find me in a place like this?" The little boy looked up and he said, "Daddy, it was quite easy. Because I heard you slipping out and pulling the door behind you." And he says, "I got down straight away and I followed you and I just followed your footsteps in the snow." And he followed him right into the bar. I wonder today as parents where our footsteps are leading our children. Wouldn't it be great if, like young Timothy, our children were brought up to know and to understand the Scriptures? But you know, there's not just Timothy's childhood. I want you to think for a moment of Timothy's conversion. He says, "From a child you have known the Scriptures," and this is the important bit, "which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What a great statement that is. You see, when Timothy sat and he listened to the Word of God, through his grandmother, through his mother, later on in life through the Apostle Paul, this young man not only heard God's way of salvation, but he believed what the Scriptures taught. And he came himself personally to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had what we call salvation. And I want you to think about that today, because whether we're young or whether we're old, we all need to experience what Timothy experienced. You say to me today, "Well, Pastor Taylor, I've come to your church. It's maybe the first time I've been here. It might be the last. Who knows? But why on earth do I need what Timothy had? Why on earth today do I need this thing called salvation?" Well, the Bible tells us that none of us, no matter who we are, no matter what age we are, there are none of us who can enter heaven without salvation. That means today, whether we're boys and girls who are very young, whether we're parents or grandparents, every single one of us need to do what Timothy did. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we need to trust Him as our Savior. That's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it? Especially sometimes when we don't believe that we're sinners. Especially when we don't believe that we've ever done anything wrong. Well, the truth is, the Bible says that we're all sinners. Every boy and girl, every man and woman ever born into this world, with the exception of Jesus Christ, the Bible says they're born in sin and they need their sins forgiven. Now, here's the good news. The same news that Timothy had so many years ago, the same news that the boys and girls have heard throughout this past week, and the same news that I proclaim from this pulpit to your heart today, that your sins and mine can all be dealt with. And they can all be dealt with because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you, I'm sure all of you have heard of Him. You might think, well, He's the man that so many people talk about that we read of in the Bible. Is he not one of those great figures of history that we've heard so often throughout our lifetime? Well, that's true. He was a great figure of history. Because he came into the world and he came from heaven to live on earth. But the important thing is this, that even though the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin, and even though the Lord Jesus Christ did no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross one day. And do you know what he did? He took your sin and mine upon himself. And when he went to the cross, he died for your sins and he died for mine. He met all the demands that a holy God had placed upon sinful men and women, and he bore away our sin in his own body on the tree at Calvary. That a wonderful thing? Isn't that great news? In a world today that is heartbroken and ravaged and ruined by sin, in so many a home where they don't know the way of salvation or the truth of God's word, friends, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners just like us. Doesn't matter what age we are. Doesn't matter what background we come from. Doesn't matter what church we attend or if we attend church at all. The fact is that we're all sinners. And the good news is that Jesus Christ on the cross died for our sins and shed his blood that all of our sins might all be washed away, never, ever to be remembered against us. You say that's great news. It is. But you know, it's only great news if you and I apply it to our hearts. Timothy, from a child, knew the way of salvation. And as a child growing up, Timothy trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that's what every single one of us need to do today. You say, Pastor Taylor, how do I do that? You do it very simply. By coming and telling God that you are a sinner. By telling God that you're sorry for your sin. By telling God that you accept his terms and all of this, that it's enough that Jesus died and that he died for you. And you take him as your Savior. And God will give you salvation. It's full and it's free. You will know what it is to have your sins forgiven. You will know what it is to have peace with God. And you will know what it is one day to enter heaven and to be in heaven for all of eternity. What a wonderful example Timothy is. His childhood, brought up in the things of God and taught God's way of salvation. His conversion. He came one day to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And all of us need to do what he did and trust in Jesus Christ today. But here's the third thing very quickly. When I look at Timothy, I look at his conviction. The Apostle Paul says something very interesting to this young man in this epistle. He turns around in verse 14 and he says to Timothy, Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and of which you have become convinced. You see, Paul in this letter, coming to the close of it, has been reminding Timothy of some very difficult days to come. He talks of days when children would be disobedient in their homes. Days when men and women would love their pleasure more than they would love God. And he says, Timothy, for you to be prepared for days such as that, you need to continue in the Word of God and the things that you have learned. You know, mums and dads today, boys and girls today, there's no better way of you and I living our lives than living those lives based on God's Word. Understanding what God says to us, obeying what God says to us, and doing everything that we can to live in a manner that's pleasing to Him. It might surprise you, but you think about this country in which we live today. Despite everything that's said about it, it's one of the greatest weak countries in the whole of the world. But just think about it for a moment. Do you know that a few centuries ago, that this land, the land in which we live, was known as a land of the book? And that simply meant that the nation built its life upon the Word of God. Do you know what has happened in those few generations? As generation after generation has grown up without a knowledge of God, it said that today this generation is a land of the booze and the bookie and a land of broken homes. What a tragedy. When the Word of God is taken out of the center of our living, and when the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer given his preeminent place. Boys and girls, you have been very good today. You've been very good all week. You have been exceptionally good all week. It's our privilege as a church to have had you at the Holiday Bible Club. We hope that you'll take the little leaflet and some of you will come back and join us for Sunday school and an SM Live on a Sunday morning. Again, that you might hear more, as Timothy did, about the Word of God. As parents today, as grandparents, where are we leading our children? And what are we giving to them as they try to find their way through life? That's a tremendous responsibility, but it's a tremendous opportunity if we grasp it. Because we have to realize these children will grow up. And if God spares them, they'll not only grow up, but they'll go away. And your influence and mine upon them will be no more. As individuals today, make sure that we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because not only does life be the better for it, when death comes and eternity has to be faced, we need to make sure that we have God's salvation. When's the best time to hear it? The Bible says, consider now your Creator in the days of your youth. What an opportunity for boys and girls and mums and dads and grandparents to come to know Christ as Savior. And all because the Word of God tells us that this gospel the boys and girls have heard and you have heard today can make us wise unto salvation. Think about it, because your eternal destination depends upon it. I'm going to sing another lovely hymn that the children will know and we'll all know, but we're going to sing it as a children's hymn today. It will be up on the screen. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, and this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Now, after we sing this hymn, David Miller's going to come and he's going to close in prayer and give thanks for the supper. And we do hope that every one of you will wait behind with us in the room at the back, and there you can join with us for further fellowship and for some tea, juice and whatever for the children. Thank you, David.
This is the dearest. Our Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for another opportunity to bring the Word of God to the boys and girls. And so, our Heavenly Father, we would indeed give you thanks for a privilege and an honour to be in this place every evening this week and again this afternoon to speak well of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we would indeed thank you and praise you for all the boys and girls in our community who were able to come to your five-day club. And we do indeed thank you for the homes that represented from them. So, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us all and be with us as we part one from another. And our Heavenly Father, we would indeed remember the food that has been provided for us in our hall. We pray that you would bless the hands that have provided it, and we pray that you would bless it to our use, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.